what do we do now? I'm hoping you'd know. So pastor is gone. Be in prayer for him. Yeah. He's going down to his daughter's graduation. He'll be out for a couple weeks. So it's good to be in church.
Amen.
It's good for another day to serve the Lord. I'm excited. I hope you are. I've studied. I've prayed about what to teach. I mean, I thought I had a message that I was going to preach before, but it's weird how the Lord does stuff. And it's weird how he'll confirm. And not weird, that's probably, it's great how he'll confirm stuff. Yeah. Pardon my language. I am, as you know, I'm not Mr. Vocabulary, that is Pastor. He's perfect with the vocabulary, that's not me. amen. So, we got junior church downstairs, yep. Yeah, amen. So before, some of you know, I was just had that title. If you're into those title things, I'm not really into those title things. Thank you, Brother Dan. But now I've been, and some people have even joked about it. You know, they say Associate Pastor Mike. And I'll tell you what, that scares me. It really does, man. I mean, it puts the fear of God in me. It does. It's a lot easier just, oh yeah, I just teach the youth there. You know, I've been to a lot of different churches, and I love this church. And I've been a lot of places, and one thing that's kind of been on my heart, even though as I have this title of associate pastor, you know, I've never been on an out-of-country missions trip. You know, it's kind of not embarrassing. I don't know if that's the right word, but certainly it's not in like, maybe I should have done that, but certainly I feel like maybe I should have. Right. Does that make sense? Like something's missing. I mean, maybe I should go on a mission trip. And I've always wanted to go on a mission trip. I want to learn to speak Spanish. So pray for me on that. I was really wanting to do that on a Tuesdays, but then there was a conflict with the basic program. Pray for the basic program too. But I really want to learn Spanish. I've worked with Mexicans since I was 12. You can call them Mexicans, by the way. Mexicans are real fond of being called Mexicans. Trust me, you're not going to offend them. They're Mexicans, even if, you know, anyhow. And I love the Mexican culture. I've got a lot of Mexican friends, but I've always just wanted, I've learned Spanish throughout my whole life since I was like 12, but just never been able to have a conversation. So I don't know what the Lord's doing there in my heart, but it's something. But missions has been on my heart. We got that beautiful board back there that Brandon made. And I'm sure all of you guys made that board back there. I mean, it's beautiful. And we got all our missionaries plugged into it. And you know what? I'll just be honest with you. I could only probably name about four or five of our missionaries. I mean, maybe some of y'all can name more. Praise the Lord for that. I couldn't. That was convicting to me. I mean, this is Sunday school where this is, everybody here probably gives to missions. Most people are probably praying for missions. Most people are giving to missions. Most people are going out and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's something that's important to most people here in Sunday school. But, you know, how many could we name of our missionaries? Do we know their prayer requests? Do we know the answers of their prayer requests? What's been happening to our missionaries? Like I said, I got convicted about it. We had all our missionary letters on that back board there as you came up the stairs. You know what the last date on that was? 2021. Right? Good job, Associate Pastor. It's convicting. Amen? But what they're going through. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, we went through a... We just came back from our anniversary. We was out in Prineville, and we went out to Mitchell, out in the Painted Hills out there. I mean, we'd never been out there. And I seen this one place, and it was right in Mitchell. It was a town, it was a little storefront place, and you probably could have turned it into an Airbnb. And I kid you not, me and my wife looked at it, and we're like, we should buy that place and turn it in. Turn it into a little Airbnb. And me and my wife, when it comes like, the Lord just hasn't seen fit to give us a house yet. I mean, we live in a great house. Let me say, to buy a house, I should say. The Lord's given me a house to be in. I just got to be content. Amen. But we were looking at this place, and me and my wife were going back and forth, and we had this vision. And we were saying, oh, we could turn this site in and make this site an Airbnb, and then da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then we could fix this site up while we're renting this site out. And we'd go back and forth for about an hour on this thing, right? Mm-hmm. They've been on the market for 156 some odd days, right? Yeah. And I'm like, man, this is a great deal. We even prayed, Lord, I prayed about it. Next day, pending. It's like, well, Lord's like, that's not part of my vision right now. This isn't your deal. Just let it go. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you get your heart setting on stuff, and then, the Lord's just like, no, we're just getting rid of this. You know what? God's vision for people is the gospel. And that gospel, it's not a coincidence that it has the word go in it. Gospel. You're supposed to go. But Bible teaches, says, go ye into all the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. Turn to John chapter 4, if you would. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and even in verse number 4, he says, he must needs what? Go through Samaria. But in verse number 34, he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's Jesus. The disciples come in there and they're talking about, what's this meat he got? He says, my meat's to do the work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. This is after the lady at the well. We all know the story. This is Sunday school. He says, say ye not there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Nobody wants you to look out there. Just like we're singing about those songs this morning, those fields of sin. This whole world out there is just filled with people who need the gospel still. I remember when Ryan first got saved. I was like, you ever heard the story about David and Goliath? He's like, no. Wow. I'm like, I mean, it's David and Goliath. Let alone the Lord dying for my sins on the cross. You know what I'm saying? Right. Basic, simple Bible stories of belief. And people still don't know them. You lift up your eyes. John 20, 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. You know what? The Father sent the Lord, and Jesus sent out people to go preach the gospel. Are we in agreement with that? I mean, that's just Bible. So what I'd like to do here, I mean, the directions for the church concerning missions. We all know these statements. Everybody quotes them at Matthew, the end of Matthew, the end of Mark, end of Luke, end of John. I mean, I want you to turn there to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. This is directions for this church concerning missions. Matthew chapter 28, and in verse number 16, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What's that next word? Go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whoever shall I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So, one of our missionaries, the Dickens family. Who knows of the Dickens family? Huh? Praise the Lord. A couple people do. I didn't hear too much about him. I'm not going to lie. I didn't. But he's our missionary. He's our missionary to England. He's been there for since 1995. Almost 30 years. I mean, I read this thing and I was like, wait till I read this. It's going to touch your heart. You're like, wow. After reading some of these, I was like, maybe our church should have its own little missionary letter and we should send it out for people's prayer. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's kind of what Philippians, Ephesians, all these books. Paul's just writing to these churches and letting them know what's going on and teaching them these doctrines, teaching them these problems, or teaching their, you know, and helping them out, edifying them, correcting them. And these guys, these missionaries that went out, they're just giving their little testimony of what's happening in their life. I'd like to read these letters. His verse is Psalm 69:17. It says, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Psalm 66:16 says, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Those are his two verses. Wait till you hear this. This is covering December 2023 through February 2024. Okay. Like I said, I went and got all those ones off there. What's funny is I really wanted to do missions. I came up there and all the missionary things were gone. And I was like, they were just here. I know they're gone. So I went and they were all in the trash. But pastor just picked them off. So I called him and said, where's all the new missionary letters? He goes, I got them. So I came and got them. And this was a newer one. But many thanks for all your prayers. Apologies for this letter being a bit tardy. Lord willing, I will send separate letter for March by itself. I spent 6 weeks in the pool hospital since our last letter. I had a bacterial infection in my brain. I have brain lesions and abscesses. The upside is they did 3 MRIs so I can prove I have a brain. I know some of you doubted. So did I. And then he put, ha ha. You know what I mean? This is good stuff. It gets better too. It really does. They sent me home on February 6th and we came back to the hospital for 10 days after for daily antibiotics and IVs. I say we because Laura drove me back and forth. She has been a real trooper through all this. She has been a rock for me in the early days of all this. I had no idea what was going on. I was not coherent due to the infection and the meds they had me on. I thank the Lord for my good wife. Amen. I am now off all medications from the doctors. The doctors say my body will heal the rest. Lord willing, please pray. Thank you all. Both churches have done well with Kevin doing most of the preaching and teaching at Ferndown Church as well. Harrison and Derek have done the preaching at Bath Church while I have been in the hospital. The other men from time to time have stepped in and taught and preached to give some relief. Peter has done some services at Ferndown and Bath. They have all done a great job by God's grace. Thank you all for your prayers and continued prayer for them. I pray the Lord would bless them for their hard work. They have really stepped up. Praise the Lord. On December 26th, we went into the ER, that's called AE, accident and emergency here, with massive headaches, which I normally do not have. We sat there for 15 hours. Lots of people sick in England now. Eventually, I was put on a hospital ward, but really was not coherent for about a week or so. He says, I hope this does not sound like a fake piety or over-spiritual, but I most certainly am not going to steal any glory from the Lord Jesus Christ while I give testimony of what he did for these 42 nights and 42 days in the hospital. Words will not suffice to tell what the Lord did for me those 6 weeks, so please bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. When I did come to it a bit, I did not ask the Lord why I was there. I could think of thousands of reasons why I deserve to be in the hospital. I mean, wow. You know what I mean? That's what he says. You know what I mean? He says, I simply asked the Lord what I should do from this moment on. He said, I believe he said, now I do not hear audible voices. I was not on one of those kind of meds. That's what he says. Then he put ha ha. It's pretty funny. You know, it is pretty funny. This guy, I mean, love to meet this guy. This is the guy we support. Amen. He says, God tells him, he says, you're a Christian. So witness. You're a preacher. So preach. You're a missionary. So get to seeking the lost and the saved. It gets better. So I had a few tracts from when I came into the hospital and asked my wife to bring more. I also had David make up some of my business, make up some business thank you cards that I was able to hand out to my doctors, nurses, porters, and everyone that helped me get around to get better. These with a personal written thank you on the card had my info on them to be able to contact me, and they had the gospel on the back. The tracts, John's and Romans were given to the doctors, nurses, porters, and patients. I don't remember any sick people turning down a gospel tract or John and Romans. This is key, man. This is hard to get. This one is just, wow. I'll have to say after my salvation, it has been one of the greatest experiences of my Christian life. It was harder on my wife and family and church than myself. Physically, there was 3 lumbar taps, 3 MRIs, 2 CT scans, a lung biopsy that went by puncturing my vocal cords, multiple blood tests, antibiotics, steroids, TB medication, which I do not have TB, but at first they thought I might, 2 teeth removed because they thought it might have been an infected tooth that the infection had been to my brain, etc., etc. All that pales compared to the emotional stress that the rest went through. I believe that I was in the directive will of God while in the hospital bed reaching the people I was reaching. As well, I could see where the men of the church were growth wise. I was pleased and saw where we can grow from here. Amen. I believe God's grace and the best days of our church are before us. While in the hospital, the Lord opened many doors to witness to people that were dead in a few days, weeks. Many Christians were encouraged. The National Health Service nurses are not allowed to witness for Christ while on the job, or they will get dismissed from their jobs. But if the patient instigates the conversation and they respond, they can say what they want. So when I had a new nurse come in or an old one knew our system, I asked them where they were from. Then I'd ask them if they were Christians, and if they were, this part's funny, I'd ask them to tell me about it. If they were not, then I would witness to them. Most of the nurses were from Commonwealth countries. And he says, when you asked a saved woman from Africa to tell you about how good Jesus has been to her, then have a seat. That's funny, man. That's just hilarious. I read that over and over. Man, that's hilarious. Let me find my place. I apologize. He says, and when he starts to give and listen, okay, hold on, I have to tell her to good Jesus that been her, then have a seat. When she starts to give testimony, the best thing for you to do is take a seat and enjoy. I just leaned back in the hospital bed and listened with tears in my eyes and said, amen, sister, that's good preaching. I had a saved male nurse from India whose name is Lawrence. We had several good conversations at higher decibels than for me. He kept preaching about how unworthy he was, but he started weeping, which got tears in my eyes. The whole ward heard how worthy the Lord is and how unworthy we are. We also made sure we put the gospel in there several times. Amen. There are many opportunities like these. The Lord has blessed and took every very good care of me and my fellowship with me. Hebrews 13:5-6. He provided me many good nurses and doctors. The Lord opened many doors of utterance by his grace to minister the gospel to the sick and the healthy. The verses that helped me a lot while I was there were for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I figured if the Lord let me live as it was to serve and to glorify him in my last breath, if I died, that would be my gain. Amen. Your prayers for a full recovery are much needed and appreciated. Lord willing, we will keep you updated. Please pray for some fellow patients, Brian, Ryan, Alan, Robert, Paul, and Peter for salvation. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. Nahum 1:7, Revelation 4:11, 2 Corinthians 3:5. He is sufficient, Brother Pete, Laura, and family. Sound a little bit like our church, huh? Amen. There's a reason I put this one first. I mean, but you know what's really neat is he has an update letter. People was evidently praying for him. I know it wasn't me. Like I said, it's convicting. It's good to hear the Lord just take care of his saints, though, like he's taking care of Pastor. We've been praying for our pastor. I mean, he looks better than what he's doing. That's when everybody asks, how's your pastor doing? I says, he looks better than what he says he's doing. But we just keep praying. Here's his updated letter. It says, by the grace of the Lord, I am healing well. I still have a bit to go before I am 100%. But the Lord sure has been kind to this old sinner. Thank you for your kindness and your prayers for my continued recovery. Please pray for Brian and Carrie Kent. We met them at the hospital. Carrie is taking chemo treatments. Good people, but lost. They live near us, and we hope to see them again. They received tracts, and the Lord allowed us to give Brian a clear plan of salvation in the hospital coffee shop. I mean, you can't give the gospel anywhere, you know what I mean? And that's what Pastor was doing when he's in there. You know, I mean, maybe that's what the Lord wants him to do now. Just go to these hospitals and just be a good tester. My dad was doing that for a bit before COVID shut it down. Because my dad had that stroke. I mean, he's only had half his body for, I think, 13 years now. But he'd go in there and just be a testimony to these people that think life's ended because they got half their body. And he's like, look, man, I'm still walking 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 miles a day, praise God, with half my body, and be an encouragement to them, a coffee shop, wherever, you know. You never know. You just got to look for that door of opportunity that the Lord puts you in and take advantage of it. Sorry, I didn't mean to get off on that, but praise the Lord. Also, please continue to pray for Alan, Brian, Ryan, Peter, and others that were fellow patients that received the gospel while in the hospital. Thank you. Thank you for praying and giving. March was an interesting month. I preached for the first time since going into the hospital. I was able to preach twice. We also had our 29th church anniversary on one Sunday with our guest speaker, Pastor Stuart Harvey from Exeter. We heard a great message that encouraged us for the future of our church and had some good fellowship and food. On the fifth Sunday of March, we had our popcorn preaching. And we made the theme to be the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The men did the best job that they had ever done. Praise the Lord. And I've thought about that too. I've only seen it one time before, and I won't mention the brother's name, but I didn't really care for the way he did it. I mean, they put all these topics in the bag, and then you sang a song, and he got to get up and preach out of two topics in a bag. And I was like, right? See something like, yeah. But I seen the way some other churches just recently do it. Like, look, it's a good way to get men up that haven't got a chance to preach, or maybe they're called to preach. I mean, certainly we've seen some of the teens come up and like, well, I wonder what the Lord's doing with that guy. Yeah. I've seen it. Yeah. Amen. But we give them a topic. Death, burial, and resurrection. You know, we'd probably start doing, I'll talk with Pastor, we'll probably do this on potlucks too. Everybody get up and give a 10-minute message. There's nothing wrong with that. Give somebody an opportunity. But I like what he said, death, burial, and resurrection. The men did the best job that they had ever done. Praise the Lord. How are you going to teach them? How are you going to let them have a chance? Amen. Street work continues by the Lord's grace. Many tracts have gone out, several people witnessed to. We are very thankful that the church has had several people saved during the street work in March. Their church here is actively seeking the lost, which is a tremendous blessing. The church has a baptism scheduled for late May or early June. We are in the process of planning it now. I think we're getting ready to schedule some baptisms too, so pray for that as well. Yeah, Brian wants to get baptized, so amen. Maybe some others will too. One of them is from Bath Church, which Derek and Harrison have been doing the preaching. Lord willing, we will also have a street preaching coming up August 24th through the 31st. I mean, we got the one brother, Sean Holtz, coming in. He's a street evangelist, you know what I mean, for all the colleges. This is like our church over in England. You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow, what are the similarities? They're going through all the same stuff. Please pray for all for this still planning and preparation be done. Pray for the Lord be glorified, and please safety for all that travel and preaching. Thank you. We are very thankful for all you do for us and other missionaries like us. May the Lord bless all of you for your kindness. That's your missionary Dickens that you all support to England. Guy's been there a year less than I've been doing masonry. Just preaching, almost 30 years faithful to the Lord. What a testimony. Even what he's going through, what is testimony. I was just, yeah. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, and in verse number 14 says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, what? Go ye to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And we know this all from book of Acts. I don't need to explain all this. They shall take up serpents. Paul did that. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with the signs following. That's what he's just talking about, those signs in verses 17 and 18. But you know what? The Lord sent him out to go. Go out there and preach the gospel. And that's what these missionaries have been doing. We support Brother Mitch Muller. This is actually one I could have said. Brother Mitch Muller, he come out of Open Door Baptist Church. I remember Brother Gabe Tafoya would always talk about Brother Muller. Pastor knows Mitch Muller as well. I think he's been to our church years ago. He was probably the first guy I ever heard other than Shanks preach in the school gymnasium. So that was way back when. I mean, I still am just a sinner, amen, but I remember Mitch Muller coming in. But he's our missionary to Mexico, and I'd like to read his letter. It says, greetings to all. We apologize for not starting right out in the new year with our newsletter, but we are waiting for the results of a gospel campaign we had in the works for the end of January. We had mentioned it in our last letter, and we also sent out a personal email asking for prayer. Campaigns for Christ is ministry based in Minnesota and is headed up by Brother Dave Darling, who went on Couriers for Christ mission trip several years ago and was burdened to do something akin. The trip was planned out in November last when he came to visit our leadership conference here in Mexico. We started setting up details, the venues, the teams here with two other local churches pastored by nationals. Amen, that's important. In November and December, we received 200,000 John and Romans with a cover particular to our part in Mexico. And it also had a list of 25 churches on the back cover for anyone who might want to find a church near them. We targeted three municipalities in our state: Canison with 120,000 inhabitants, Matul with 45,000, and a place called Hunecma. Best I can do. I apologize. I want to learn Spanish. I told you that. With about 30,000, and there's no Baptist church at all. He worked with a group of Americans, and they arrived on the 26th of January with the idea of handing out a John and Romans with an invitation inside to come to a preaching meeting in their own town. We handed out close to 20,000 each town. Then we had our meetings in the evening. Our first meeting was in Canison, and it was, and at about a good number of people came out for it, and the invitation, we had 57 come forward to be saved. And in the second meeting in Hunecma, we had 41 come forward, and in the final third meeting, we had 107 saved, for a total of 189 souls saved for the glory of God. I mean, this is what's going on. This is what he's doing down there. Three different towns all collaborate in doing this, you know what I mean? It's a big thing. I mean, in this one town doesn't even have a Baptist church. And he's in this next part's really good. Another feature we added to the meetings was we gave a Bible out to all who came and for anyone who came forward. I mean, that costs some money. That costs money. And they fill out a visitor card with their information for follow-up. We have already sent out each person a text inviting them to a Bible study. And the other two churches are ready to start discipleship classes with whoever shows up. And praise the Lord. People just waiting for it. Waiting for somebody to come into church. Waiting for somebody to trust Christ their Savior and they can start discipleshiping them. Amen. And he says we'll have more to say about that in our next newsletter. This is January 1, by the way. These are the most recent ones we got. And this is great. There are so many wonderful testimonies in God's hand directing and providing. One of our fervent prayers was to see a church start in the town of Hunecma, a very strong Catholic stronghold. The man I invited to preach the meeting, Pastor Noriega, was actually run out of this town 50 years ago as a young man who tried to start a work there. They tried to stone him, literally. And that's religion, folks. That's religious people. We'll talk about that in the main service. You know what I mean? Religion. You getting that religion, man? My mom and my daddy, they was religious. My grandpa was religious. You ain't. This is what we do. I'm going to pick you up and throw rocks at you. Don't tell me about Jesus. And there he was preaching and watching 41 souls come forward at this invitation. He was weeping for the goodness of God and the privilege to be able to return. Man, you never know. Pray for this town. We have a place to meet, a group who are excited to be a part of Bible Preaching Church. And we invited all 41 to a Bible study that will help Saturday the 10th. You know what? I mean, a church down there in Thessalonica started off with one. They got 41. I'm not trying to number the people, but 41's a pretty good number to start a church. You know what I mean? Especially you get a couple in there that are on fire for the Lord, like you were when you got saved. Amen. Thank you all for your prayers, your faithful support. God is working, God is saving, and God is blessing your co-laborers. This is Brother Mitch Muller, you support. We'll do one more. Would you turn over there to the book of Luke? Luke in chapter number 24. Yeah, we'll close with this one. I originally kind of was praying about this. Sometimes you just got to pray about just putting the stuff in order. I mean, you should. I really wanted to start this one off because this was, it's our missionary to Israel. God's all about his people. And we ought to be about God's people. Not only just here, but at the nation of Israel. Luke chapter number 24, And in verse number 45, it says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses unto these of these things. And behold, I send a promise of my Father upon, but tarry ye in the Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power on high. That's the Holy Ghost. But pastor told me, this will be our last one, and it's a lengthy one. It's our missionary to Israel. And I marked some of these up, so I apologize. If you want to, you can only read the ones I've already read. Because I need this still, but I'll leave this one out for you guys to look at, because he got a bunch of pictures with it. It's really cool. Israel's in a war right now. We all know this, right? And this guy's out there witnessing in this thing. And I hate to get to the end of the story real quick, but he invites you all to come. I mean, I wish I could. I don't. And from June 17th through the 28th, he's willing. If you want to go to Israel, he says, come on. Come on. That's pretty cool. And it's wartime, but I'll start with the last of it, how he read it. Several of you have expressed interest in participating in a solidarity tour to Israel. I realize that much of what I've reported on might discourage you from coming. So there's your little suspenseful before we get into it. But I also know that there is a truly unique opportunity to show the love of Christ during times like these. I also am confident that Israel knows how to take care of its guests' security during uncertain times. That being said, we will host a tour from June 17th through the 28th of 2024. For more information, click on the button below, and he's got a little thing you can go to. So lest you be discouraged when we start going through this, he's inviting everybody to come. I've heard people's testimonies when they go over to Israel, and you get to read your Bible and sit there where all the battles took place. Man, I want to do that. Not where the battle's going on, but but amen. Father, help me. I won't say his name because for obvious reasons. But we support this missionary in Israel. It has been almost 6 weeks since our last update. While I have gone that long between updates, it has never happened during war, ministry, visits, etc. So after a mild apology for the wait and a more sincere apology for the amount of time you have had to devote to catching up with all that has been happening in our midst in Israel, strap in and let's do this. I trust you won't be disappointed. I often remind myself how blessed we are. The Lord Jesus not only found us faithful, putting us into the ministry, but allows us to do so here, especially in times such as we find ourselves. While it is always a blessing to see the places many will only ever be able to read about in scriptures, it is also a blessing to see the difficult things that have resulted from 6 months of war because of the doors it opens. I pray that you have been so instrumental in us doing what we do for the Lord's sake. We'll receive a blessing as well. We were able to meet with the reserve paratrooper unit that was patrolling the Lebanese border for 4 months as they were going through their reintegration training upon being released. We were later invited to a dinner they held for their family members a few weeks later. These are precisely the kind of opportunities we pray for, connections that extend beyond the battlefield. You know, that's a saying. It is a profound saying that people don't care how much you know until they know that you care. I mean, you can tell everybody the truth, but do you really love them when you're telling it to them? Are you trying to build a relationship with them? And that's what he's doing. Because they got religion over there. And they're like, why are you here? Well, let me tell you why I'm here. Because I love the Lord. And I want to share his love with you. I'll leave these people's names out. He goes to there. I went with their families at Barr's invitation. That's not a bar. That's the right-hand picture. And then Adrania really hit it off with Barr's fiance. So both of their names are Barr. The guys, he says, that'd be a fun wedding. This unit has orders to return to duty in the coming weeks. I included a video of Reserve Infantry Company we supported with your help as they celebrated mission complete in our last update. Excuse me. I asked the company commander, Major Liren, if he could take a flag into combat in Gaza and bring it back to me. Being as Israeli, this was not good enough for him. He went back into Gaza the day before their operations concluded and took a flag that was hanging from a building in Palestinian Square in Gaza City. His assistant commander, Itai, or whatever, far right, has been our main point of contact for the union. He works for Rafael, the defense company that produces the famed Iron Dome. Upon completing his reserve duty, he scheduled an operation where he donated a kidney to a 37-year-old mother of three. And that's a soldier. This story was featured on national news here, which Raviv, his right-hand man, just happened to see. We then visit Itai, and he was recovering. This unit also orders to return to duty before the summer. These are the caliber of people we get to support. So, and he's got pictures of all this. It's really cool. Lebanese village that Hezbollah has established, especially for the purpose of attacking from, mind you, it looks like a typical small Middle Eastern town which schools a mosque, etc., but in reality it's a terrorist encampment. The biggest threat these brave people face is not only an invasion, but an anti-tank missiles that fly too low and fast to be detected by early warning systems. The bottom left picture shows a house that was hit in December, killing a mother and a son. The house on the bottom right was hit a week prior to our visit. Despite the threats, the security team made up members of the community stands ready to defend themselves through your help. Through your help, we significantly upgraded their tactical helmets for their entire team. I mean, that's what your money's going towards. Plus, they have the coolest chicken logo I've ever seen. He's got a picture of that, too. That's kind of funny. Through great friends in the ministry, you have been serving Jesus Christ in Jewish communities in Israel and worldwide for many years. We came into contact with Aviv, his elementary school teacher by trade, but a commander in a medical unit in the reserves. We shared a meal in his home with his wife and a couple of his soldiers in this place near Gaza. After helping to provide boots for his unit, that's what your money's going towards. Aviv, this opened the door to visit the school twice. So just because he got boots for these people. And because he cared for these boots, they're like, hey, you know what? Why don't you get to go into the school now? Just that little door, that little of giving. Open that door. Giving. Open that door. We have plans to have a small ceremony at the school where we will be present some children with books authored by aforementioned Raviv. Of all the communities we have helped, we've grown closest to Dishon. Nestled along Dishon's stream along the Lebanese border, these guys have welcomed us warmly each time we visited. I've taken my wife there as well as my father who came for a visit recently. They have the letter we gave them explaining the love we have for them because of the love of Christ posted in their equipment room. They took us up to the border of Lebanon, and that's pictured there. Please pray for Noam and Avarim, whom I've gotten close to. I sure would love to see them receive Jesus as their Messiah. You know, I forgot to mention before, I've talked with Ms. Sharon about it. Right by the coffee shop, we're going to put all our missionaries right there. So just bear with us. But I think what we'll probably try to do is we'll put our missionaries up there, these pictures, maybe even have the letters that you can take your own one. We're still praying about it. You know what I mean? Give Pastor and me feedback, Ms. Sharon, what we'd all like to do on that. And even maybe having a separate prayer list on the side. I'd sure like to just have it on a bulletin again and just have that updated. Oh, this is the update. Prayer for our missionaries, prayer for our church, updated blessings on the back. You know what I'm saying? Because I'd like to be praying for these people. Because we need that. He needs that. It's not just about me. I sure would love them to receive Jesus. One of the more difficult trips was the site of Novo Rave, where hundreds were killed and many others were kidnapped. This site was become a memorial with placards, places to write notes that are taken to the Western Wall, bomb shelters, and more. The bomb shelter pictured on the left was used by up to 18 people escaping the Hamas terrorists. You know, Pastor John Wagner said something. I was even talking with Brother Dale about it. And Genesis chapter 6, and it says there, Genesis chapter 6, and it says, I'm forgetting it now. Genesis chapter 6, and the word was evil continually. Is that how it goes? I want to get this right. The world was continually filled with violence. Thank you for your grace and patience. Thank you. And the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. You know what that filled with violence? You know what the Hebrew word for that is? Hamas. Ooh, coincidence? I don't think so. That's what it is. Hamas terrorists, a grenade was thrown inside just as new soldiers going through training are taken to the old city of Jerusalem to connect with their purpose for defending Israel. Now they came also in droves to the site for a fresh reminder of why they fight. One of the most fulfilling ventures we've been a part of was helping a local doctor and his office manager provide a professional grade emergency response kits to Army units. Now there's other churches I know that are doing this. Shady Acres is doing this. They bring all these medical supplies through this program they got, and they can take them all through Romania, Ukraine, Israel, and they're doing all this legally. Because they started, anyhow, I don't even know how to explain it all. But the medics, and they got it picked, these are the medics. They look like a SWAT team. You know, it's pretty. But these were grateful to be confident in their own jobs, knowing that they had physical protection they needed, all while receiving spiritual protection from the prayers of the saints. Amen. There's a lot here. We're getting kind of short on time. Here's his ministry. We've had a fruitful beginning of the spring here. We've conducted several outreaches where hundreds of tracts targeting secular, religious, and Russian-speaking Israelis. I didn't even know that was a thing. Russian-speaking Israelis. In our area have been distributed. We continue to see how people visit while praying that the right people stick. Romy continues to draw closer and closer to receiving Jesus as her Messiah. She prays and God answers. She is reading the Bible regularly. She is part of everything we do as a church family. In fact, she is more consistent than many born-again people I know. We have had a public meeting in a nearby kibbutz recently, something they do once a month. Prior to the meeting, a woman asked about what we are doing. She didn't stay for the meeting but wanted to know more and gave us her contact. And he's urging us to pray for him. I mean, he goes on. Maybe we can touch up on this, but you know what? He needs your prayer. Our missionaries need our prayer. Especially this one. I mean, he's not going over there and building a church, you know what I mean? He's going over there to these religious people in this battlefield and witnessing to them. What a thing. I can't do it. Some of you can't do it. But not say, some of you might want to go. I don't know. But you can. We can pray for them. We can support them financially. I think next Sunday we'll kind of go through some more of these and just continue on the directions of the church concerning missions and even the plan of missions. Even providing for missions. Even giving to missions. So let's pray, and we'll have a little break, then we'll start with the main service. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for these missionaries, Lord, and their faithfulness, Lord. I pray for, Lord, you know their requests. I pray you bless each and every one of them, Lord. I pray for the services to follow, Lord. I pray for, Lord, just your Holy Spirit just to touch hearts. And Lord, just thank you for your goodness, your grace, Lord, your long-suffering. And I pray you bless this, Lord. I pray you're pleased. In Jesus' name, amen.